Now, let me say up front, this is not an easy passage at all. It's not. It's not a fun passage at all. It's not a not fun passage, not a nasty passage. It's just an all up in your face if it's preached correctly and if there's no sunshine blown your way. Done correctly, this is difficult to teach. And it's even harder to receive. Not just for you, for me also. Because it means, if done correctly, that we've all got to deal with some stuff. And church over the last, century has not necessarily been about dealing with your stuff. I mean, it hasn't. We appreciate when a preacher comes in and gives it to us, Thank you, preacher, for making me think. Thank you, preacher, for stepping on my toes. God bless you. I love your encouragement, but not concerned about your toes. And I am concerned about the way that you think, but not the way that you think about me. I'm concerned about reminding you, and I'm not reminding you of something that you forgot. Re-minding. We find change in ourselves by the renewing of our mind. Alright? We need to have our mind rebooted and reset, okay? So as we talk about forgiveness this morning, it needs to be active. Both on the giving end and on the receiving end. I find it interesting that God, in His infinite wisdom, for those of you who've been joining us on Wednesday nights, had us where He had us in that book just this last week, talking about unity of the body and being able to bring together and to forgive. Okay? I find that extraordinary, and I find it, well, ill. Alright? So let's read first. It's a story you've heard before. But let's read it, and then we will talk about it. Alright? It should be up there for you. We're in Matthew chapter 18. Alright? And Peter came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now, let me stop here and tell you a little bit about that time frame, okay? It was an unwritten rule. Kind of like when somebody gives you something, you say, "Thank you." Okay, that's not written biblically, but you know it. Does that make sense? And when someone says thank you, you then respond with, "You're welcome." When somebody sneezes, in general, we say, "Bless you." It's an unwritten rule, okay? And so it was an unwritten rule back in the day that you were to give somebody not just one, but three times, to forgive them. You did it. It was standard, okay? That was commonplace, all right? We don't have that now, but back then that was common. Well, what happens if they don't do it again? Up to three times. So here's what, Peter's always the go-getter. He's always got time to figure out what to do next to get an answer, all right? Jump right out of the boat, whack the guy's ear off. That's just Peter, all right? So he's like, "Hey, Jesus, so I think I got this figured out, this whole forgiveness thing. I'm not going to just forgive him three times. I'm going to double it, all right? I'm going to double it. But I'm not just going to double it. I'm going to add one. The reason I'm going to add one is because that's the number. That's our number. Seven. Complete. If I get this right, and I can offer forgiveness seven times, I have complete forgiveness." Does that make sense? It actually wasn't a bad deal. Peter actually thought this out. I don't know if you ever knew this, but Peter actually kind of worked it out. It's not bad. And Jesus looks at him a lot like he looks at him, when he does most things. And he says, "No." Peter thought about that all night. He's proud of him. No. 70 times 7. Infinite times something times something. It wasn't just 490. It wasn't. Not that you could get that far, but it was complete times complete. Forgive them infinitely times infinitely, like you have Macaulay Culkin asking you questions over and over.
So Jesus called a parable. The kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of earth, not the rules that you live under, not the three times, not even the times when you're trying to think about how many times, because that's what we do. If there's a debt, we want to know the number. We want to know how to write the check. We want to know how many times to say I'm sorry. You mess up with your wife, you want to know what dinner to cook her, what vacation to buy her, what ring to get her, what thing to do to make it all better. You need a number, right? I mean, that's us. That's the way we're wired. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and we're expecting to get this lesson on forgiveness, and we do, but it doesn't come like we want it to come. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children all be sold to repay the debt. Told. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Exclamation point, by the way. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had mercy on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owes. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is very typical that there would be a settlement time where dues are owed and you have to pay them. But as Jesus was telling the story, there's something that you do not get, okay? I did not get that we don't understand, okay? The largest debt that could be owed, the single largest debt that was possible to be owed was this 10,000 talents, okay? That was the greatest possible debt that could be owed. It was the equivalent of, are you ready for this? 3,000 years of labor at the going rate. At the going rate. 3,000 years of labor at the going rate. Let me help you out. At the median income of Jessamine County, $42,000 a year. That's the median. That's the average, all right, of Jessamine County. At that rate, for 3,000 years, you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $135 million. $135 million that this guy owed. This was a considerable loss for the king, for the guy who is unfathomable. So what Jesus is trying to do is, whatever number's in your head as the big one, the top, that's where we're going here. When you can't figure out how it's going to be done or how it's ever going to be paid back, that's the number we're going for. And here's the reason. Are you listening? The master forgives the unfathomable. The master forgives the unfathomable, the unimaginable, the deepest and darkest and most profound of debts, wiped clean by the one to whom they are owed.
the Master washes away unfathomable debt. His forgiveness is unmatched. Okay? Okay. When that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. 100 denarii. The wages for about 1 month. The wages for about 1 month. So the debt difference, 135 million, or about 3,500. See the difference here? Not just 1/3,000, but 1/36,000 of what he owed. And he chokes him. And he takes from him, and he has him thrown into prison for not repaying a penny. All of us get a little stirred up by this. You know, when we're reading the story, we're like, this is the enemy. This is the ruthless guy. This is the bad guy. This is the guy we all want to punch in the face, all right? The problem is, this is us. Let me give you the story. Okay? This is us. This is us getting all up in somebody else's business for what you did to me. But you don't understand, Craig. You don't understand how bad they hurt me. You don't understand how awful they were to my children. You don't understand how awful they betrayed my family. You don't understand. No, here's what I don't understand. How it is that you missed the mirror. But I didn't do that. No. Maybe you didn't do that. But let's play the tape of what you did do. Well, no, because... Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the difference between the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of heaven. What you don't realize, what I don't realize, is that there was no reason to throw the man in prison. He was already in prison. And when the master threw this guy in prison to be tortured, here's what you need to understand. He was already in prison. And he was already being tortured. Have you ever been hurt? Multiple times? Do you ever see a name come across the screen? I mean, I'll give you an example of one that happens to me. I'm not going to tell you who or what. I drive by a certain place, and there's a street sign. And it's like I can't not see it. It's like I can't not see it. Every time. It bugs me. And as I was studying through this and working through this, that started. Guess what, folks? There's a part of me that's not free. There's a part of me that somebody else still has some control over. There's a part of me that my mind won't let go of. Guess what? I'm not free. Which means what? I'm in prison. There's a part of me still captive to that pain or that bitterness or that anger. There's a part of me every time I get ready to preach about Happy Church that plays back a couple of darn Sigrid nods.
You think I've heard this before?
It's the other brother. You know, we celebrate all the time in our churches, people getting saved, getting whole, and we're getting better at it. We really are. We're getting better at celebrating, you know. Somebody used to say that in a Baptist church, somebody getting saved was a lot like a funeral, only the person up front standing up. Didn't we just kind of file at the end of the service and go by them in a straight line and shake their hand? What kind of party is that? Kindergartners do that to go pee-pee. Right? We're getting a little bit better at our party, right? A little more joy, a little more excitement. Somebody comes out of the water, maybe there's woohoo! You know, we got a little, I don't know, there needs to be woohoo in a Baptist church, but we're getting there! Right? So the brother comes home, right? Celebration, right? Except for, there's this really intelligent, really handsome, really smart, you ready for this? Really obedient, really hardworking, good kid. It's a true story. I mean, the son that stayed, the son that obeyed, the son that cooked and cleaned for his family, the son that kept the farm going when the other one was off gallivanting, smoking, drinking, chewing, running around, you know, doing all this. Everyone he could get his hands on or off of. It's a wild child. And then he comes back and dad kills the fatted calf. Busts out all the best drink. Busts out all the friends, all the workers in from the field not working that day. This kid comes in and he's been working hard. 100 times harder than normal because nobody was helping him. And he finds out that the reason for the party is what? The brother? Oh, no. No, 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 no. No.
And so she writes it back. Big brother, here's my reply. Your little brother was foolish, that can't be denied. But a fool that's forgiven is wiser by far than one who's self-righteous, and that's just what you are. Well, he didn't miss the party for any other reason other than it was. He was too good. The kingdom of heaven is accessible. God is very clear that there are things that keep us from accessing. They're our things. Our inability to forgive takes root inside us and causes us to be full of fear, full of bitterness, full of anger, full of questions. And when you're full of all of that stuff, the fruits of the Spirit of God don't have a place to take root. They don't have a place to be. So you're imprisoned by your own inability to forgive. Let it go. I know there's a song. Somewhere in there. Let it go. But I can't. Then that is not God's problem. It's yours. Don't think for a minute that He's not dying to fill your cup with mercy and grace and justice and forgiveness and hope, but you're too busy holding on to despair and disdain and snootiness and bitterness. That's why we've talked about the fact that, yes, forgiveness is conditional. What? I didn't say God's forgiveness was conditional. I said forgiveness is conditional. He's pouring it out, and you're not getting any. Why? Your cup's full of other junk. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. Those who have been forgiven little, love little. Why? Because there's no room in their cup for the love. We want lifestyles. We want habits. There it is. Habits. It's if you have to count the number of times you're going to forgive, it's not really forgiveness, is it? Here's what Jesus is saying. You can't put it on a number. It's a lifestyle. You want to know what 490 means? It means forever. It's you live a lifestyle of forgiveness. Not because you're all that good, but because you've been that bad. And you don't want any of that garbage. You don't want any of that trash. You don't want any of that bitterness and loneliness stored up inside you. Because it gets in the way. And it causes you to do things that you just shouldn't, just couldn't, just wouldn't do otherwise. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient, and I will pay you back." But he refused. He never accepted the forgiveness to begin with, because it changed him not. He had the man thrown into prison. The other servants saw this, and they were greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. And then the master called the servant in and he said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt just like you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on him? But because you didn't, you turned him over to the jailers to be tortured. Can I tell you something? I know that this is scary, and if it's not, you're not listening. I know that this is scary. But again, this has nothing to do with God and everything to do with us. God is merciful. Yes, 'tis true. But God is just. He can be no other way. And I've tried to teach my daughter especially something. And that is this. We as parents have a hard time with discipline. We do. It's hard to discipline your kid because they might hate you. Because you love them and it's no fun.
because they whine and complain, so you just hand them what they want and it shuts them up. Horrible, horrible, horrible for them. Yeah. How's that for straightforward? It's horrible for them. Here's why. They never learn. And let me take that to right here. I try to teach Tyler when it gets bad, we try to lay it out. Jamie struggles a little bit with this because we're trying to learn this thing together, you know? But we didn't, you know, her parents didn't do things the same as my parents did, the same as Brittany does, the same as Kendra does. We're all trying to play that out. So what I try to do is make sure that there's some upfront things. Does that make sense? She does something wrong, and I don't immediately go, "You lose this." I say, "If this thing is done again, then you lose." But because I do it that way, I go, this, and this, okay? You see what I'm saying? I don't yank one thing. I tell her not to do it again, but if it happens, then I yank about six things. And I sound like a bad dad, but here's the deal. I also take that moment to tell her that when it happens, it ain't my fault. Yes, it is. You told me. No, I didn't. You chose to do the thing that cost you that. So whose fault is it that you don't have those things? Yours. Whose fault is it that he's in prison? God has no choice but to be just. It is our choice to do the things that draw his judgment. If a pregnant young woman comes up to me and says, "I don't understand how this happened," I'm going to look at her and say, "Unless your name is Mary and there's something that I don't know, I know exactly how it happened. Hold on. Allow me to take a picture of your television, your house, your car, your car, your car. But what? Having trouble understanding why? God is infinitely merciful. And the kingdom of heaven is a place where all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of the God can be infinitely forgiven and unimaginably free and overwhelmingly joyful. You know what it feels like to have a debt canceled, to pay a credit card off, to pay a debt off? Man, tax time has been decent, and I've been able to do some things, and I've been able to give to the church, and I've been able to pay down some cards, and I've just felt a little lighter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This is what the kingdom of God can be infinitely like, but you don't get to treat somebody you think is less deserving like they don't deserve it. Because that unfreezes. Why we don't look for the living among the dead. This is why Paul says, since we've been forgiven, shall we live, shall we break the law? By no means. If you've been changed and you're alive in Christ, why would you act like a sinner, a dead person anymore? If you're alive, you don't get in the coffin and bury yourself under the ground. That's just dumb. It's the same thing. If you're alive in Christ, you don't act like you're not. Greg, how do we learn this? I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. One day at a time. One step at a time. With Jesus and each other. According to the scripture, we figure it out together. Nobody owes you. You owe no one. street sign, scrolling up through your contacts, it's heavy right now, isn't it? I let it go. You gotta forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't. Forgiveness doesn't mean condoning. It doesn't. Forgiveness means freeing yourself from the bitterness and the hatred and the hurt. And letting God do what God does best. Set you free. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Freedom. Christ. Because He lives. And because He forgives. Let's pray.